sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Like justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Privacy.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression.
Expression. Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Cartagena.
Solidarity.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM. And over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We are building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and with me today is Margaret Poitras, CEO of All Nations Hope AIDS Network. We're going to talk about this agency and how it has and is affecting change in Regina. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here today and to be on your show again. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea how long ago it was, but I'm sure it's in excess of 2 years.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot has happened in that time.
Yes, yes.
And but what I'd kind of like to do is sort of review what All Nations Hope AIDS Network is all about, why it came about, how it came about, and that kind of stuff.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So All Nations Hope have been around since 1995, when a group of Indigenous people were concerned about HIV among the Indigenous people. And just within the last few years, our network has incorporated the word Indigenous, and it replaces Aboriginal. And for us, Indigenous means First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we move forward in addressing HIV/AIDS among Indigenous people in Saskatchewan, we felt the word was very important in terms of describing not just a people, but also the land and the language and the culture and the traditions. And it's a more, it was a word that we wanted to adopt into our network so that we are more clear as we move forward in addressing the multitude of health and social issues that are impacting Indigenous people here in Saskatchewan and also in Canada and in internationally. So today, I've been with All Nations Hope about 15 years. And I've seen it grow from 2 staff to approximately 20 staff. And I've also seen it grow in terms of how it's addressing HIV in our community. You know, we went through some strategic planning with our network and changed a few terms that we use, but also a few ways of how we are implementing some of the programs and services in the community, and also looking at how we can change some of the policy and the procedures around how Indigenous people are being addressed when they're presenting at risk or when they're presenting with HIV. So it's been a steady work and move forward, and you know, working closely with our partners that have been long-term agencies in Saskatchewan is important to us. And so in 2004, All Nations Hope incorporated and became a separate entity. We were under the umbrella of AIDS Regina, which is now AIDS Program South Saskatchewan. And we incorporated in 2004 and began to move forward. And today we are located at 2735 Fifth Avenue, and we call it The Place, the outreach downstairs. We have three different programs that we operate. First and foremost, our long-time and standing program is The Network, which is where provincial network in Saskatchewan have been dealing with HIV and AIDS among Indigenous people for many years, and have a staff that has been long-term in addressing HIV, AIDS, and hepatitis C and other blood-borne pathogens. Now we've incorporated a bit more work into what we've been providing, and that has just come into play. You know, as things move forward, we address what needs to be addressed as a community-based organization. We're always for the people, by the people. And so when they ask us, you know, in early years when they asked us about hepatitis C, well, we became experts in that area too. So, you know, that's any community agency, you know, it's for the people. You do what you do for the people. And that's how we move forward. We've always been an agency that listens to what the people need and what they have asked us to do, and do the best of our ability to provide that. So we have a network staff, which is provincial, and we also work in all areas of the province, on reserve, off reserve. A lot of the urban initiatives that we look at that are happening in our provinces are important to us. We work on reserve with some of the First Nation communities. We work closely with the governing agencies, the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations, which I'm happy to say we have a second woman vice chief that's been elected just this past week. And so congratulations to Gwen Baer, I believe her name is. And it's nice to see our First Nations women in leadership roles in the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations. And I'm really happy to see that, because as we move forward, I have a few things. I'm pretty biased again for women, but I just think that we have a lot to offer. And you know, one of my spiritual mothers talks about you know, women and how if the First Nations women, if we were in leadership roles, that our men would never go to war. You know, that's just the role of a woman, a mother. And so that's kind of an interesting concept. And I thought, wow, that's pretty strong words. And as women, I believe that we have a role in our communities to bring a lot of the issues forward that need to be addressed. Certainly HIV, addictions, homelessness, poverty, or abuse are issues that are not talked about at any level where there's leadership involved, unless there's a woman involved. And that's just common knowledge, I think. Anyway, that I'm pretty biased for women, but, you know, I am a woman and I am a leader at All Nations Hope. And I take that role very seriously in addressing some of the issues that no one wants to talk about. No one wants to do anything about. Even in society in general, HIV is not a very, very high on the topic of anybody's list when they're talking about what needs to get done in our community. And so for me, it's a very natural role to take a part in. So as the network, I went back to the three different, we have three different programs that we offer the network, and we do a lot of training and workshops in the communities. We also offer a yearly Indigenous conference, which will take place February 24, 25 here in Regina, and looking at treatment as prevention, but maybe a little bit more traditional treatment as prevention versus our typical clinical, you know, treatment, which is important. But first and foremost, you know, as a network, we believe that we're coming at this from an Indigenous perspective. So it's not a pill that's going to cure our people. It's so much more than taking a pill. The pill is good, but we need much more than that. In inclusive of the medicine wheel teachings and looking at ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and taking that into perspective as we move forward in addressing any kind of health or social condition that's impacting us individually or as families or as communities. So our network has been involved in many different initiatives over the years here in Saskatchewan and in Regina and in Canada. you know, we're well connected to many of the groups that have been doing this work for many years, not only in this province, but in Canada, and getting to know the international scene also in terms of how other Indigenous people have been impacted by HIV and AIDS in their communities. So, you know, we've grown quite a bit, and we know that we see the importance of not only looking after our own backyard, but also helping in other places in the world. You know, we certainly have some solutions that we'd like to share and offer to other Indigenous people. And as we move forward, we know the importance of being connected culturally to our ways as Indigenous people, to our traditions, to our ceremonies, to our language, to the land. We know that as we move forward, that has to be part and parcel of how we move forward in addressing not only HIV, but the many other health and social conditions that we're facing today in Saskatchewan. So that's the main piece of our network is the work we do. And then we also have an outreach office here in Regina. Again, a call from the people that are part of our network to take care of ones that are living with or at risk of HIV. So we have a center on 2735 Fifth Avenue that's open in Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And when people walk through our doors, we say we want to feed them mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So we do have elders that are available for them. We have ceremony that's available. We also have other programs that are available. One of the new ones we have had this fall that came into our office is called, it's a program that SIAS, which is now Polytech,
oh, yes,
is offering. And so it's to help people through navigate through from kindergarten to grade 10, and then have that opportunity to either write for to go into Polytech, into the adult GED, or to take part in some of their go further in go to classes there. So that's all open to them. So it's kind of an exciting one. It's one that's based on Indigenous ways and language and culture. And so it's kind of neat the way it's offered for people that are most at risk. So they feel comfortable coming when they can, and when they can't, that's okay. It's not an organized one. It's, you know, it's very informal, but it also gives them some reason to come to our office and reason to come and do something every day and when they can, because we know there's a lot of other challenges they have in life. And so we're not, if they miss a day, well, so be it. If they miss a week, so be it. We'll still continue them on. That's important to us, not to ever give up on anybody. You know, our elders tell us that when people walk through our doors, they present as is, and it's not up for us to decide, you know, if they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, well, they're still welcome. If they're, you know, coming in, they're a bit, you know, mad at something, well, they're not mad at us. So we make that opportunity to talk with them and see what's going on, because we know they're not mad at us, and to help them through their day, right? And to help them in many ways, like spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, we have elders again available. We also have staff that are trained to help people and to navigate people through the different agencies, systems, and institutions that may have services that are good for them. And we also feed them every day. So we're always looking for, I'm going to say, we're always looking for donations of food, you know, to feed the people. You know, people are people. They need to eat. And, you know, our elders also tell us that, you know, we need to take care of one another. And regardless of how they present, we're not concerned with that. You know, our elders also tell us the same spirit that lives in them, lives in us, lives in our Creator. And so we need to honor that spirit and feed that spirit too. And so we physically feed them food, and, you know, there's always some coffee or tea available. We've got some, you know, some information for them and what's going on in the community. You know, we try to be, you know, as courteous to them as possible in terms of telling them where things are in the community when they need something. A new program that we just got funded is a 3-year research project called Digging Deeper, and it's a research in partnership with the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations. And so Dr. Carrie Barasa and myself have been working on this with a team of researchers and a whole team of people in from Regina and in different areas of Canada to make this a reality in Saskatchewan. But it's Digging Deeper, and it's Aboriginal women living with or at risk for HIV and AIDS. And so we've just hired two Aboriginal women who are navigators in our community, who are going to help other Aboriginal women to navigate through what they may see as a need in terms of addressing or dealing with some of those health or social conditions, right from housing to homelessness, addiction, poverty, you know, children, families, partners, whatever it is, a woman, you know, there's a whole scope of qualifications you have to be a woman nowadays, from, you know, from being at home taking care of the children to, you know, being out there working. And that's just the reality of the situation today, or going to school, right? Whatever it is, the women have always been a strong presence in my life and also in the life of the community. I see in many of our Indigenous women who are leaders in our community all the time. I've worked in the community for 20 plus years. I think it's almost 30 now. I keep saying 20, but I think I've worked in the community for almost 30 years. Wow. Anyway, and I know some of the women who have been leaders that I looked up to are still around doing the same work, but even more, with more, I guess, commitment. And those are, you know, those are my mentors. Those are my, the leaders that I look up to in this community are some of those women. And we probably could exchange many names today, but I won't name that. I won't exchange any names because I might forget someone and I'd feel bad. But they're spiritual mothers also. They pray for the women, for the people, for the families here. And that's important too, you know. I know we went through and supported one of our partners from Prince Albert, Donna Leroy, who was doing a walking from across Canada for murdered and missing women. And it was a spiritual journey for her. And she was journeying on behalf of the women who were murdered or missing, who never had that opportunity to have a praying mother. You know, we've suffered many generations of loss, and sometimes it's a loss of our own mothers who aren't, who've lost that way to pray for their daughters and to pray for their, you know, the ones that are coming, for the grandchildren and so on. And so Donna did this, and it was a spiritual journey for her. And I'm so, you know, inspired just really thinking about what she did and what it is she'll continue to do in the next year is important, because a lot of our women don't have that those mothers that pray for them every day, or those grandmothers that pray for them every day, because, you know, there's a lot of loss in our communities. But today is a new day, and as we move forward, we're seeing more of our women rise up and move forward in terms of being praying mothers, being praying aunties, grandmothers. Even aunties and grandmothers, and all the whole scope of the roles that women have in our communities, and even in our organization, our leaders are women, and they're, you know, rising up, and they're saying spirituality is first and foremost in the work that we're doing. That's what's important. And then all things will fall into place as we move forward in whatever we're addressing. So that's our outreach. I'm excited about it because it's growing and growing. And like I said, we have these navigators who are women who are going to help other women. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is to really help one another. And that's another teaching that we have, is that we need to help one another as we move forward and navigate in this place called Earth, and in addressing things that are hard to talk about, from sexual abuse to HIV, you know, hard topics for people to talk about, but it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be addressed in good ways. And so it's not about putting band-aids on the people, but it's looking deep and digging deeper within ourselves to find out what needs to happen for us to be able to move forward with our families and with our relationships and with our work or our gifts that the Creator's given us to share on this earth. And so, you know, I feel very strong in that area in terms of the work that All Nations Hope has been proposed to do on this earth. And I call my coworkers, their co-creators, because they work for the Creator. They don't work for All Nations Hope, or they don't work for Margaret Poitras. They work for the Creator. And, you know, they've been awakened to many, many gifts that they have, and each and every one of them back at the office and whatever areas they're working in, they have opened their gifts to be able to help the people now to navigate through this thing called life. And to do it in a good way, you know, is important for us. And we always talk that way, and we always pray that way, and we always ceremony that way. We want to do things good, and our best intentions are pure. And we want to do that in a way that's going to bring life to the people and to the community and to the nations. And All Nations Hope is, it's all called All Nations. It's for everybody. You don't have to be First Nations, Métis, or Inuit, or to come through our doors and to help us, to work with us, to ask us for help. We open our doors to everybody, to all nations. But we're coming at it now from an Indigenous perspective, from our ways that our ancestors instilled in us. So, you know, we see life in that. We feel life in it, you know, from our songs to our dances to our art to everything. Everything's inclusive around us. And we see that as a way of bringing life to the people. And so our outreach program is growing. It's very, you know, I'm excited about the possibilities. I see something in the future for Regina that would be a 24/7 place that people could come with the same services, the same programs that we're offering now, the service that we do with upgrading people from kindergarten to grade 10 is called Aeromite. And so if there's anyone interested in that, they have clients maybe or people that they're working with that would, you know, just need that opportunity to come and sit with other individuals who are going right from kindergarten to grade 10, well, they're welcome to come and talk to Wes Kiewaiten, who is the community outreach coordinator at our office. And he's such a wonderful man who understands when people walk through the door, and he's such a wonderful human being. He just greets people, and he doesn't care how you present. And you know, he's kind of he's a neat man, and you know, he's very compassionate to the needs of the community, and you see that in him every day, all day. And you know, that's just the way he is. But he's leading there with Aeromite at our office, and he does a wonderful job of helping the people navigate through whatever it is that day. So that's our outreach program, and we've got a huge cultural component to that, and we have our cultural navigator, Deb Adjicote, who helps people with some of the teaching, some of the ceremonies. She runs every morning at 10 a.m. If people want to come by, we do a smudge ceremony with whoever wants to be involved in that. We also have monthly sweat lodge that we take people to, and we want to increase that to maybe a couple times a month that we would take people out to the open sky retreat, who we partner with out there with Archie Weenie, who helps us with the lodges and with the people that want to go through a ceremony for whatever reasons. But it's nice to see that happening. We don't see that a lot in Regina, where people are actually connected to a lodge if they want to go, mm-hmm. if they want that ceremony. So outreach, that's our, you know, I'm really excited about what we're doing and what we're proposing to do and the vision for what we can do. And then we have the Indian Residential School Resolution Health Support Program. And we've got four people who work in that area, and we're very busy with the residential school claimants, the people who have been to residential school who have filed a claim for the abuse they've had in the schools. And so we've got four staff that provide emotional support to them. We partner with the new Friendship Center. I'm not going to kill their name, but anyway, we're partnering with them. And we also acknowledge the RITSIS, who does another program here in Regina, and then the various ones across Saskatchewan and in Canada that run similar program, providing support, emotional support to the people who have been to residential school. And we've done a few gatherings this year. Our biggest gathering in that program was the Bison Feast, which we had in August. And that was the first time ever that we've done a ceremony like and fed the people and fed them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and had a bison that was brought to us from George Gordon First Nation. And everything was done in ceremonial way, and it was a teaching for us, and it was a teaching for the people, and I believe we did a good job, and I'm thankful for the many people that helped us. There was a lot of community agencies out there, a lot of systems, institutions that came and helped us. We ate with the people. We did ceremony, and we did ceremony like our ancestors did many, many years ago, probably on the same ground, right? And so it was coming home to a knowing that we're doing things in a good way, and we'll be having one for the next 3 years, probably for quite a while, on Fifth Avenue again, about in front of our office, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger, and more ceremony will happen. And we're thankful for those things, because those are things that live inside of us, that we know, you know, that we bring restoration to the people, to the land, when we honor and move forward in ways. You know, our elders tell us to pick up those tools that have been left for us, whether it's the tool of talking, which is one of my gifts, to be able to talk. I probably will talk the whole 30 minutes here. I don't know if you'll get a chance to say anything. But, you know, it's exciting. And, you know, I welcome people to come and visit All Nations Hope and have a look at what we do and support us in whatever way you can. If you can help us feed the people, so be it. Bring some, you know, donations. We have, you know, breakfast in the morning, and soup and bannock or bread, whatever we have, whatever is given to us. We feed the people, whatever it is. And so we welcome that, even volunteers to come and help us feed the people, come and help us when we're doing our events and our campaigns that are coming up here that I'm going to talk about. But, you know, there's a lot going on at All Nations Hope, and things just keep, you know, activities, events, partnerships, you know, helping out other agencies, systems, institutions. They'll just come by us, and we just take whatever we take. And I like when a puzzle, you know, all the puzzle pieces come to, and you make a nice big puzzle. You know, that's what it's all about. And we don't have to ask for anything. And we just offer when we can, you know, wherever we're needed, and things are just falling into place. But like I said, you know, we were taught long time ago when the network's foundation was built about spirituality, that the importance of working with the Creator and honoring the Creator and everything we do, from, you know, we pray, we're always praying. We pray, you know, during our staff meeting, we pray at our national conferences, we do ceremony for everything, right? Life is a ceremony. Every day is a ceremony for us. You know, it's not just on Sunday. It's every day. And, you know, the church lives inside of us. And that's what we're supposed to honor and believe. Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What?
We just what got to the end of our first half hour.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to take a break. And I've picked some music. My favorite is Michael Franti. I'm a Michael Franti fan. Say hey. Mm-hmm. And in our next half hour, I think maybe I'll ask you another question.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Okay.
Come down, selector.
I knew it was true. I said, hey. Luck I had was you, and I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey.
That's Michael Ferranti, one of my favorites, Say Hey. And I was just mentioning to Margaret, I was at a concert that he was giving at, what do we call it now? I always call it Center of the Arts. It's Conexus Arts Center, right? That's what it is today. And what a great show. Great, great performer. Just a lot of warmth going on there. I'm talking to Margaret Poitras. I'm Jim Hutchings. This is Human Rights Radio. And we're talking about All Nations Hope AIDS Network and the very, very broad spectrum of things that that you and your staff address and make changes in people's lives or attempt to make changes in people's lives. I just wanted to ask you briefly, how do you fund all this? There's so much going on. How do you fund it?
A lot of the work that we do, we've got a lot of partners who help us in different areas, and so from research to programming to some of the services to sitting on committees to helping us out in many different areas. One of the latest work that we've been doing in the past probably year and a half is the formation of a volunteer council called the Saskatchewan Indigenous Council on HIV and AIDS, which consists of people from different areas of Saskatchewan who were interested in what was going on with HIV AIDS among Indigenous people. So members of this council are people from tribal councils, from First Nation communities, from agencies that have been funded for HIV to other agencies who are just interested, in some of our governing groups too. And so forming this council was volunteer. We got a little bit of money from the government, from the federal government, to support it in the past year, half a year, and are moving forward now in establishing this in more formal. It's been formally established as the Saskatchewan Indigenous Council on HIV and AIDS. Have been building a strategy to address HIV AIDS among Indigenous people here in this province. We'll be releasing that strategy on December 1st. We'll be looking at moving forward in the next 4 years in addressing HIV from an Indigenous perspective in Saskatchewan to bring life to the people in ways that are going to make a difference, to remove band-aids that have been placed on our people, and to dig deep into what's going on, because HIV is not the problem. Many of our people who live with HIV have said that HIV is not the problem in their lives. It's much deeper rooted issues that needed to be addressed from what has happened from colonization to residential schools to all the different institutions or systems that may have hindered from childhood to adulthood. So it's from being in jail, from being in foster care. All those there's a multitude of things, and people understand if they look at closely enough about what institutions have done to the people. Well, it's mm-hmm. not a good thing. And so as a human rights activist, to be treated in that manner is not good. And so it does have outcomes. And so we're addressing many, many things. And in the past couple of years, when we changed we did a strategic plan for All Nations Hope, and we changed our name to All Nations Hope Network. AIDS is, there's a lot of stigma, ignorance, and discrimination associated with HIV and AIDS in all over the place. And so, but we are addressing much more than just HIV and AIDS. Like, the people that live positive, they said it's so much more than that. And so, we've had to address homelessness, poverty, addiction. That's what's driving the rate of HIV in this province is addiction. Now, when people can't access services, when they're presenting, actively using, they're banned or told they can't come into an institution, office, or agency because they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Well, mm-hmm. those are the people we're supposed to be helping.
Right.
So how do you make contact with them when you're banning them from coming into those places? And those are the places they get funded to help. So it's kind of really, it doesn't make sense to me, but it could be a human rights, mm-hmm. if the people were concerned about, talking about that, then, but they're not. The people that are most at risk are the people that live with HIV and AIDS. They got so many other things on their plate that they need to deal with, and helping them navigate through that is important to us as an agency. But first and foremost, involving, involving the creator in the work that we're doing is important first and foremost, and in waking the people up in that manner. Their spirit is important to us. Our elders, our founders have told us that about the spirit and how we need to take care of that. And so, you know, I can talk like that from, you know, being with All Nations Hope. But if I worked for an institution or a system, or maybe even an agency, I couldn't talk about the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wouldn't be the drive there.
Right.
That would be, you know, we can't talk about religion. They'd call it religion, right? But
mm-hmm.
it's spirituality. And so I'm thankful to work for All Nations Hope and to be able to include the Creator in all the work that we're doing. And for the government, we get funding from the federal government, provincial government, and, you know, some small projects from the municipal government here. We do some fundraising, we do some you know, donations.
Mm-hmm.
We are involved in you know, many, many different areas of research. We're one of the only probably Aboriginal AIDS organizations in Canada that can hold research funds from the Canadian Institute of Health and Research.
Mm.
You know, building that capacity is on the road right now. And so, you know, we go here, there, everywhere for funding, and we partner lots, and we,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're well respected in the community for the partnerships that we have. When we go into a partnership, it's 50-50. We'll do this, but you have to do that. You know, that's the meaning of the understanding we have around partnership, and also to work closely with what already exists in the community. We're not going to reinvent something that's
mm-hmm.
been working for a while, but what we're going to do is we're going to come, we're going to grab it, we're going to indigenize it, and we're going to make it work for the people. Because
mm-hmm.
we are indigenous people. We you know, we have that ability to take the best and move forward, right? And that's what we need to do is as we begin to work with the people, is to look at what their strengths are, and not always looking at what their problems are, but also to look at what the strengths are in our communities, right? And to move forward in that area. So there's lots of good ways of looking at programming and services in our community, and to working with other agencies and teaching them too. It's time now that you let us have some solutions here for what we're facing as Indigenous people, and to help us move forward, but listen to us, because our ways are just important to us as the ways that you've instilled in the society in general, other nations, right? So we're all about, you know, really moving forward together in unity and working together to find solutions.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just wondering how big is your staff? You've got a lot of things on the go here.
Like I said, we've got four network staff, or excuse me, five network staff, and we've got four Indian residential school staff, and then we've got five staff in outreach, and then we have a whole variety of elders that. A variety. We have several elders that come in and help our network all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got many volunteers. We work in partnership with many groups, not only in Regina, but Saskatchewan and in Canada. So we get to get a lot of work done. You know, it sounds like we do a lot of work, but we do that in partnership with other groups. So we don't do all the work, but we're there,
mm-hmm.
you know, helping, leading, assisting, whatever we can do. December 1 is Aboriginal AIDS Awareness Day, and it's also World AIDS Day. And there's a big event going on in Regina here at the Ramada Hotel on December 1. We're going to be helping a national group called the Canadian Aboriginal AIDS Network. They're bringing their awareness campaign to Saskatchewan. There's a series of posters with very well-known people on them. Also, people that are interested in coming to that event, we'll be doing a couple of activities there. We'll be posting the agenda on the All Nations Hope website, which is allnationshope.ca. But if people are interested in coming to that event and honoring and understanding HIV more from an Indigenous perspective, please visit the Canadian Aboriginal AIDS Network website, which is www.caan.ca, and register on there for Aboriginal AIDS Awareness Day. And it's free of cost. And if there's anybody that would like to set up a table of their arts and crafts there, please, again, contact our office at All Nations Hope and register for that, and we'll get a table set up for you. All we're asking is some of our artists and craftsmen to donate something to the network for indoor prizes or whatever prizes or gifts, and then, you know, they can set up free of cost. It's a community event, and we're going to end the day off at the Ramada with a round dance and giveaway. So lots of good things happening on December 1st, and again, mm-hmm. an event that's free of charge.
Just backtracking here a little bit, I think one of the really important aspects of the way you approach your work is the idea that you don't care how somebody presents when they come in your doors. I've had basically two experiences, one in which a friend of mine and myself were trying to get some help for a young man that was having issues I'm not sure what his addiction issue was, but we took him to an organization, and they were meeting, and because he was intoxicated or whatever, under the influence of something, they turned him away. Like, where does he go? Where does he go? And mm-hmm. and so that left us kind of confused. We're trying to find help for him, and those folks weren't willing to help in that particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other organizations like yours where, this is where we start from. This is where we find out what your problem is, what we can do to help, and take it from there and just sort of look after the person where you find him, the situation that he's in.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think that it's a huge improvement on some models of rendering help for people, things like harm reduction, that mm-hmm. type of thing. It's a philosophy that really needs to be applied for people who are in need, but for whatever reason can't seem to get themselves to the situation where people will give them help.
Mm-hmm. I understand that very well. I understand that teaching very well from many different perspectives. And the one I like to talk about a lot is the fact that when people present and whether, you know, it's you treat them as a human being first and foremost, you know, as a human rights activist, we understand human rights. But I think that maybe Indigenous people were the first human rights activists in this land. But anyway, to treat people as humane as possible, like they're human beings first and foremost. And some people, it's too hard for them to move forward in life. They're going to stay where they are. They're going to die using. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure they have something to eat. They have mm-hmm. a safe place to be, that they're, you know, treated as a human being first and foremost. And let them be whatever they're going to be for the rest mm-hmm. of their life here on this earth. And then but we want to also give opportunity to all nations hope for them to move forward. So if they're ready to move forward, then so be it. We'll help them. We'll navigate them forward to wherever they want. But it's all about choice, right? They have mm-hmm. to make that choice. We're not going to force anybody to change and to move forward, because sometimes it's just too hard for a human being to deal with what they've dealt with all their life. And that's fine, but they need to eat, they need to have a safe place, they need to be treated as a human being, and they need to have respect and dignity for the time that they're on this earth. And those are teachings that, you know, mm-hmm. we've fast forwarded to today, and we call it harm reduction, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. for us, that's we had that, we know that, and that's important to us.
And housing is the same sort of situation. Where homeless people with addictions are not given decent housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are some institutions now that are realizing that you can't begin to help someone unless they have a safe place to live.
Mm-hmm. And if they want to have a safe place and use for the rest of their life, so be it. They need to have that type of a place. And there's excellent place in Vancouver that I've visited several times that we need here in Regina, Saskatoon, PA. And it's the Dr. Peter Center. Mm-hmm. So people can look that up on the internet too. It's a pretty cool place. And I went over there and visited, and I seen people from Regina using that center. So people make their way all over the place in this mm-hmm. world. But mm-hmm. anyway, the people that were using services at All Nations Hope at our outreach were using the Dr. Peter Center in Vancouver, BC. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, we need a lot of, we need to take care of the people now. You know, it's no longer step across them when they're laying on a street, or ignore them, change, you know, go across the street when there was somebody walking on your side of the street that you're not sure about. You know, we're human beings first and foremost. And it's not to, you know, to be wise about things, but to also treat people with dignity and say hello, say good afternoon, good morning, whatever, you know, what's the worst thing they could do but to say that back to you, right? And we're human beings first and foremost.
Do you see some progress in Regina going down that road? Or,
well, I would like to you know, we've always had a vision at All Nations Hope to provide zero stage housing, and to me, zero stage is 24/7 housing for people to just come and sit and be as they are, like something what we operate right now but we only operate 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. Again, funding not enough there, but we need a bigger place anyway. Sometimes our place gets pretty packed. And people understand when they come there that, you know, they have respect. They know what's going on. They govern each other. You know, we don't have to sit there and tell them, quit doing that. We don't talk like that to the people. Mm-hmm. You know, we let them understand it's there. They're the ones that have to, you know, talk it out or govern each other, right, you know, on what's going on there. So it's a very humane place that we operate. And sometimes, you know, it gets exciting, but, you know, all things fall into place the mm-hmm. right way, the way they're supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that you sort of have graduates of your program that maybe they're in trouble, but after they've been hanging yes. around your place for a while, they sort of find yep. themselves and yep. and end up getting involved in the work themselves?
We've hired a few, and they've moved on, and they've got different jobs now, and we see other people that have come back and volunteer for us and during our events that have, you know, moved on too. So we see, you know, like I said, we see life coming out of what we're doing, and we're not pushing anybody. We're not telling them they have to attend an AA meeting or they have to, you know, attend this before they can do that. No, we're letting them make their own choices, because they know better than us what they need to do in their life and what's going on. You know, we're not about that. We've experienced that through the colonization mm-hmm. residential school. Our ancestors, that happened to them. That's why we're in the situation we are in today. And so we're trying to move forward from that and restore what's been taken and lost, mm-hmm. right? That's all what it's all about. And to do it in a respectful way with other nations that are here. And it's all about forgiveness, and it's all about helping one another and doing things in unity now, because we need each other on this earth to move forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find that some of the people that come in, say, to visit your center for the first time are surprised by the freedom and the choices that are offered to them and not being pushed out the door?
Yes, they are. And you know, I've sat with people who come and visit us, and I talk to them about what we do and how we do it and why we do it, and they'll start crying. And they never knew that residential schools existed in Canada. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know why people are the way they are in our society today. And so that's eye-opening to them, and it's heart-wrenching to hear that type. But again, it's about the solutions, right? How can we help them move forward? And that's what our elders told us too, is that the work that we do at All Nations Hope is about building people and building people up at all costs, right? And how we do that from an Indigenous perspective, and working with other nations to do that is important too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My experience with just about any human rights issue that you'd want to talk about, you start off with awareness and you move on to education, and then as a result of that you change attitudes. And I'm just wondering how much progress you think you've made and how much needs to be made with our elected officials, who basically hold the purse strings, you know, to fund the sort of things that need to be funded.
You know, it's a challenge to find people that would fund the services or programs that we see as important for the grassroots people, the ones that are most at need. Most the ones that are most at risk for HIV or for other conditions, and so for us it's really about having the ability to do things in a good way, to ask the Creator for what we need, and to have faith that He's going to put that in place for the people. Because like I said earlier, that at All Nations Hope, we're co-creators. We work for the Creator. And so we understand that we need to do those things in ways that are going to make a difference. I've worked for many years in the community, and I've wrote many proposals, and I've talked to many funding agencies, and I've fought in a way that I don't think is needed anymore. Now that I understand so much more about Indigenous ways and culture, traditions, ceremony, that's the way I fight spiritually, mm-hmm. and not fighting physically or with words or with paper. It's more of a put it out there and let's see it happen.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. It's more peaceful for me as a CEO, and it also gives me more freedom mm-hmm. to be able to do things that I need to do in a community and not always have to worry about the fight. You know, mm-hmm. the fight is spiritual. It's not any other way. It's not physical.
So would it be fair to say that you've got the confidence now to, when you see something, a need, that you would have the confidence to start a program up, not knowing where all the resources are going to come from.
Well, that's what we did with the Saskatchewan Indigenous Council on HIV and AIDS. We just began meeting and we did ceremony and we said everything will fall into place. And now we just went through a period here within the last 3 weeks where the federal government released more HIV money into this province for the long-time funded HIV groups like AIDS Saskatoon, AIDS mm-hmm. Program South Saskatchewan, All Nations Hope, the Avenue for Diversity. You know, those are some of the long-time funded groups in this province that have been working very hard for 20 years plus on HIV and AIDS. And so when we began, you know, building SICHA, the Saskatchewan Indigenous Council on HIV and AIDS, and began building this strategy, so we haven't even released it yet, but the federal government has put more money into this province mm-hmm. even before it was released. So on December 1, they'll be releasing what projects they've funded in this province to help Indigenous people, but we'll be releasing on December 1 the strategy. And we see more to come yet to help the people, right? Like real deep-rooted solutions is what the Indigenous strategy is about, mm-hmm. not the Band-Aid ones. There's enough Band-Aid ones. You know, the last 4 years we had a Saskatchewan HIV strategy that was developed in this province, and All Nations Hope helped build that. But in the end, it was very clinical. The strategy mm-hmm. went into the existing systems and institutions that were already addressing HIV. And that's where that strategy money went. Very little went to the long-time funded organizations or agencies that have been doing HIV work in this province. And so now we're seeing more money from the federal government. Well, I want to see more money from the provincial government coming into those agencies. I want them to increase the funds that we've been getting for the past, I've been with All Nations Hope for 15 years, and we've got the same amount of funding for pretty well all those years. And it doesn't go for us not asking for more money to address in our new solutions that we have, you know, for them to fund. It's not about we haven't asked, we haven't gotten. And so, you know, it's time now that we need to do some real work here. Mm-hmm. Enough of the one-sided clinical pieces of HIV in this province. We need to look at some more of the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and from an Indigenous perspective, because that's where the problem lies in this province, is with Indigenous people. The rate of HIV is almost three times the national average here in this province. Mm-hmm. And the majority is Indigenous people. And so, we need to look for those solutions as Indigenous people. Lots of good stuff.
What do you think is the biggest roadblock facing you now?
Well, we need to look at partnerships, right? And really working with from an Indigenous perspective. But, you know, the way I talk about the work that we do at All Nations Hope, we need to incorporate that work into other groups that are doing really good work in this province around HIV. Even some of the clinical pieces, you know, they need to incorporate some of our ways into the work that they're doing. Yeah. And we can help them and they can help us. You know, it's all about partnering now, about real partnering. You know, their way is no better than our way and our way is no better than theirs.
But we're just about out of time here now. And I just thought I'd give you an opportunity to repeat one more time this upcoming event at December 1st, you said?
Okay, yeah, December 1st. It's Aboriginal AIDS Awareness Day, and mm-hmm. we're going to have an event at the Ramada Hotel here in Regina. They can go to the Canadian Aboriginal AIDS Network website, so that's www.caan.ca, and register there, free event, arts and crafts, please register too. Let us know that if you need a table at All Nations Hope, we'll set that up for you. And it's free of charge too. So I invite everybody to come and celebrate with us. It's a day of celebration. We're also going to end the day with a round dance and a giveaway.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Margaret Poitras, thank you very much for coming and talking with us today. It's such a pleasure. I'm always astonished at how much is going on at All Nations Hope and how your work continues and evolves and how many people are involved with it. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."